That was very good. I love the Lord. Do you guys love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I do too. God's so good. Well, I had a wonderful message for you. He changed it 5 minutes before I had to walk in here. So it's going to be different. So I want to just talk about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Is that all right if I talk about that? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the Bible, Lord. Jesus, I thank you for becoming the sacrifice for each and every one of us, that you took our place on the cross, that because of what you've done, we're able to have fellowship with our Heavenly Father, with you and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in our hearts and in our lives. We acknowledge you. And we thank you for the love that you bestow upon us and show us and operate through us. We're just so thankful in our hearts for you. We ask you to have your way in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. Okay, Lord, how to start. Maybe you're like me, and I know I'm born again. Do you know you're born again? I know I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you know you're baptized in the Holy Spirit? Or at least you have the Spirit of God in you? So do I. And I think that sometimes, as I'm praying for people, that I might be thinking I have something to do with it. Not a thing. I have no more to do with the light of a candle than the wick does. I'm just supposed to burn, right? I'm just supposed to be consumed. That's me. I'm just the vehicle by which the Lord can be himself. And he operates through me and through you. Amen? So let's look at a few scriptures. I've titled this today, With Him. We're with him. Amen? And I've got a verse that I really enjoy. And not a lot of people talk about this verse, but I really enjoy this verse because it just really speaks to me. And so I just want to share it with you. It's 1 John 5:20. And if you just want to go ahead and look at that on the screen or in your Bibles. And this is how 1 John is ending his first book with five chapters in it. And this is the second to the last verse. So he's wrapping it up and sharing. And this is what it says. It says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." In this verse, it says that he has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. That word understanding is dianoia. Dianoia. That's translated understanding, mind, and imagination. And it's talked about, you know where it says that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened? That's dianoia. That's that inner part of you, the deep understanding of who you are. And God has given us that so that we can know him. So if you want to know God, where do you go looking for him? In you and in me. And I think that's what he means to be converted, from looking outside of ourselves to be turned around and look to the inside of ourselves for the leading of God and the wisdom of God. Are you with me? So if you feel like God's not with you. Is that true? It is not true at all, is it? He really is. He's given you an understanding. He's given you that ability to know him. Now, it's not broken in anybody. He made us that way. If you're able to say a word in your mind and not speak it out of your lips, then you can know God. It's that easy. It's really that easy. Let's look at a couple other verses. So, how about the fact that, well, maybe he's with me and maybe he's not? There are some people who say, well, I don't feel God. You ever felt that way? Well, I don't feel God's with me. I don't see any sign that he's with me. You know, I can't perceive that he's with me right now. Maybe he comes and he goes. Maybe he comes and he goes. Now, I know I'm talking to a room full of people that really know the Lord, but I think that I need to hit these points anyway. Is that all right with you? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. We're going to read 20, 21, and 22. The Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So let's look at this. It says, for all the promises of God in him are what? Yes, and in him, amen. And what does amen mean? So be it, or actually, it actually means firm. It means you can trust this, you can hang your hat on this, you can take it to the bank. This is absolutely dependable. So be it. In other words, it is, okay? So whenever you see the word amen at the end of a sentence or truly, truly in the front of a sentence, that's the word amen. So it says, in him, amen, to the glory of God through who? Through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has what? Anointed us is God, who also has what? Sealed us and given us whom? Where? The Spirit in our heart as what? A guarantee. So this is God's guarantee. I had a TV commercial when I was a kid, and he said, guarantee. It's his guarantee that, listen, I'm going to read this again. For all the promises of God in him are yes and in him, amen, to the glory of God, where? Through me and you. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has, past tense, anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So if he said all of his promises are yes, the Spirit is in you, he sealed us, vacuum packed us, preserved us, and that's his guarantee. Does that sound like the Spirit might come and go? He sealed us. Do you guys know what sealing is? You know those Ziploc bags, right? So he's like ziplocked us in the Spirit, right? He's put us in and zipped it shut. So it's like there's no escaping. We are his captive, praise God. Let's look at Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. How about Ephesians 4:3? Here's another one. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So that's in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that you and I have been sealed in the Holy Spirit. Is that a guarantee? Is that a promise? Is that a fact? fact. Fact. It's a done deal. It's a guarantee of God. And then it says that he not only has done that, but your spirit and the Lord's spirit are one spirit. You've heard me tell you this before. And if you're one spirit, then can he leave you? Because you're one now. And I use this example, I'll use it again. If I took out a bucket of water out of the tap at home and I walked it down to the beach, as long as it's in the bucket, it's separate from the ocean, isn't it? But soon as I throw that bucket in the ocean, can I ever separate it again? Never. 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 Therefore, we are one spirit with him. And then God tells his spirit all the deep things of God, and he tells our spirit the deep things of God so that we can know the things of God. So when he tells your spirit the deep things of God so that you can know the deep things of God, like your spirit knows the deep things of you and he knows you, you know him, how does he do that? Through the first verse I said, and you have been given an understanding that you would know him, right? So when they talk, where do they talk at? Where's your spirit and his spirit communing at? Inside of you. Inside of you. So I really need to nail this down on some of us that it really is, I am never alone. You know, in Hebrews, let's just go to Hebrews. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I'm about ready to pop out busting in joy right now. Listen. Is it possible for you and me, is it even possible for you and me to not know God is with me? Yes, it is. It's possible for me to not know that God is with me. You know why? If I always am looking outside of me, if the things that are outside of me, all the people that I've been interacting with from the time I was an infant to now, and all of that, if my attention is on all of that and my past and all of that stuff, if I've never settled down and be still and know that he is God, I can actually feel like I'm completely alone. Just like an unbeliever. An unbeliever, what's the difference between a carnal person, a natural person in this world, and a Christian? Yes, we have the Spirit of God in us. But if we don't fellowship and acknowledge the Spirit of God, can he kind of be elusive to us? I hear creaking when I... Would you guys hear it too? Am I doing it? Is it my knee? I don't know. I hear it somewhere too. All right. Gosh, I really don't know where it is. Okay, I'll ignore it. Huh? Now that I brought attention to everyone in the room that there's a creaking going on. So, Minton was telling me this morning that when he got in here and you guys started praying, that the presence of God just showed up in the room instantly. Did you not say that? Goosebumps and the whole bit. So when we take the time to acknowledge him, then he reveals himself to us, right? So then who determines how much glory or the presence of God I'm going to get to experience? Who does? She does. So she determines how much she gets. I determine how much I get. You determine how much you get. So if we're waiting for God to splash out on us and then we'll believe him, are we wasting our breath and time? Yes. It says, if we draw near to him, then he'll draw near to us. I think it's this thing. All right, is that better now? Okay, I think it is, if that was it. All right, praise God. Praise God. All right, so what am I trying to say to you guys? I'm trying to say that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, that he is always with us, that we are always one with him, and that sometimes we feel like we're on our own, and God's way up there in heaven, and we need him to come and rescue us or do something for us, right? And what I'm trying to share is that he is very present in our time of need. He is in me. So when God heals me, where does my healing come from? Within me. So it comes by his Holy Spirit, right? So whether it's healing in my physical body, healing in my mind, healing in my emotions, it comes from inside of here. Do you hear me? Not out there somewhere, in here. So when a person lays hands on you, is it coming out of them and into you? I know everybody's afraid to answer. Yes, it is. But what's it doing? It's activating the Spirit in you for the healing to take place. Are you with me? So we can walk in as much glory and power as we want. Unless you think that God's rationing it out for you. If you're a person that believes that God's rationing it out for you, then you're only going to get the ration you believe he's giving you. It is. Really. Go to 3 John chapter 3. I just want to look at this real quick. John chapter 3. It says in John chapter 3, okay. So in John chapter 3, verse 34, it says in John chapter 3, verse 34, for him whom God has sent, speak the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Okay? So, it's without measure. And some people can say, well, that's Jesus and not us. Where is Jesus at? He's in you. So, is the fullness of Jesus in you? Doesn't 1 John 4:17 say, as he is, so am I in this world? It also says that when he appears in glory, I will appear with him. Colossians chapter 3. Right or wrong? So if I need something from God, what's the fastest way for me to get it? Anybody, shout it out. My relationship with him inside of me, Mitten? Receive it yourself. Where does it come from again? So then if it's being blocked from manifesting, where is it being blocked from? In here. In here. So if I'm going to fellowship with God, where do I fellowship with him? In here. You remember in the Gospels where it says that when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, or some translation says closet, or your secret place, and then God will meet you where? In secret. Where's your secret place? Inside of you. Because I can't get to that spot. Only you get to be in that spot. So that's your secret place. That's your quiet place. That's your individual temple that you fellowship with God. Where? There. And he says that in that, inside of you, in that secret place, in you, as you're fellowshipping and worshiping with God, and in secret, he will reveal it where? Outwardly, in public, right? So when we believe in God for healing, it comes from inside of me, yes, Lord. It comes from, yes, Lord. It comes. He says it's like rivers of living water that rise up inside of you. And that sometimes we neglect cultivating that. And that's how he expresses himself through us. And he desires that we would acknowledge him in all of our ways. And it's his desire that it's him who people meet when they meet me and you. That's his desire. And we sometimes don't give him the attention and the acknowledgement that he not only desires, but deserves. And then we wonder why we're not healed, or we're not seeing blessings, or we're not seeing doors open in our lives, or we might not be seeing the favor we think we should see, because we're not really acknowledging him with our whole heart. Not to condemn or shame anybody, but if we would like to see more manifestation of God in our lives, where does it come from? In me. So can another person stop the manifestation of God? Only I can. So if I'm not seeing God or hearing God, who has the power to change that? I do. Because as we read, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We were sealed by his Spirit. His promises for us are yes, and in him, amen. Where is he? He's in me. So everything I need from him is in me. Everything I need is in me, not outside of me, right? So when I get my priorities straight and I walk by the Spirit, let me just rephrase that for you. When I walk with the Holy Spirit, things get put in order. Not when I walk by my spirit. Because what happens is that lets me think I'm separate from God. But when I walk by his Spirit, who is one spirit with my spirit, who I think I used the example with you guys of driving the car, that we're in the car, my spirit, my soul, and my body, and my spirit's one spirit. So I'm going to say in the car is the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, my soul, and my flesh. And it's majority rules. Whoever two agree decides where we're going to go. The other one's odd man out. And if my soul agrees with my flesh, then I'm going to live carnal. But if my soul agrees with the Spirit of God, then I'm going to live godly. Are you with me? And it's the rule of majority rules. So my mind and my attention, where is it the majority of the time? Is it me just trying to live and to do good and to do what God expects of me? Or do I live with the Holy Spirit? Do I sleep with the Holy Spirit? Do I do my dishes with the Holy Spirit? Do I vacuum with the Holy Spirit? Do I study with the Holy Spirit? Do I eat my food with the Holy Spirit? Do I have conversations with people with the Holy Spirit? Do I shower with the Holy Spirit? Are you with me? It's about Him. And out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water as I spend time with Him. The Bible says in Psalms 24 that you are the gates. You are the eternal doors. And that the Lord moves through you. So the kingdom of God is experienced how? Through your inner person. So as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God starts manifesting around us. The life of God starts manifesting around us. And we decide whether that happens or not because we're the door. And the door is opened by me fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, by acknowledging the Lord in all of my ways, that I delight myself in the Lord, and He shall give me the desires of my heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? This is what He wants. And He wants it today. And I don't know if something's coming around the corner and that we need to be prepared for it or not. But I do want to say this, that it seems like things are wrapping up. Or it might be in our lifetime, it might not. But here's my belief. If God wants to save you, like He did Noah in the ark from any destruction, we have to be those open doors, those gateways of the movement of the Holy Spirit, so that He can take you and set you where He needs you to be safe, if that comes, rather than buying guns and gold, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The more you do it, and the more present He becomes, and the more in tuned we are that He's actually leading us in our lives. Doesn't that sound like a verse in the Bible in Galatians that we should be led by the Holy Spirit? Do you think He means that? And listen, no shame or condemnation on anybody. We all fall short. But if we would groom that relationship more and more now, starting today, to where it becomes important and the first thing, and then once that established that His presence is with you, that you are consciously aware of His presence with you, then go about your day with Him. And if the fellowship breaks, just stop and go, Lord, I'm back. I'm back. And reestablish the link, right? And as we do that and do that, if trouble comes, He'll tell you. Doesn't it say that He will show you things you didn't know? He will tell you things to come? Okay, That only happens if we're in communion. Because if we're too distracted or hard-hearted, then he can talk and we don't hear him. Because he's a gentleman. He's not going to yell and he's not going to override our wills. But didn't Jesus say that it's my will? No, he said it's not my will. God's will. So we have to really honestly decide the Holy Spirit and our relationship with him is the most important thing. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that if you take time to really spend more time with the Holy Spirit, now I'm not saying to not pray, to not read your Bible, to not fast, to not fellowship, to not do your job, to not be dependable. I'm not saying any of those things. Do all those things. But consciously be aware, hear and hear, of the presence of God, specifically the Holy Spirit, who, if you call him Jesus, he's perfectly fine with that. I want to let you know. If you call him Father, he's perfectly fine with that. I want to let you know. So however you acknowledge the Spirit of God around you and with you, that's perfectly fine. They're all one. I am guilty, and I'm just going to confess, I am guilty of sometimes serving God in my mind and not in relationship. And whenever I do that, it seems like I have to struggle to see healings take place. I have to struggle for revelations. I have to struggle for things at times. And I'm out there going, man, things are not working right. They are not working right. What's going on? And then I realize, oh, Lord, I've been doing this on my own. I've been out handling life on my own. So I would encourage you, if that ever happens to you, what should we do? Shout it out. Reconnect. How hard is that? If he's in you, if he's given you an understanding so that your mind, your deep thoughts can know him, that he's with you. So let me ask you this. It says that Jesus is in you. Is that true? Where? Okay, in your spirit. Where's that? It's figurative, she says. In your heart? She says, what? Liz, what are you saying? We're one. Right. She says, there's one. There's no separation. Do you know who you are? And I'm not saying I'm an accountant or I'm an engineer or I'm a housewife or I'm a man or I'm a woman. The invisible person inside of you that you call you, where your consciousness is, that's where the Lord's at. Wherever you locate you, that's where he is. There's no finding him. He's with you. There's no connecting, per se. He's with you. There's only acknowledging. That's all there is acknowledging. So it's like as if the world and these things veil us. And this veil gets over us. It's not in our physical eyes. It's in our heart. It's separating us from the knowledge of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, where does it say they're strangers to the life of God? In their hearts. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. Okay? So, the life of God is inside of you, in your core, in the center of who you are. Am I laboring this too much? So, Ephesians 3:16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might or power, strength, through his what? Where? In your inner man. So all the power and all the strength and all the force of God is in you. If we go and we read Ephesians a little further, let me just go there and I'll just read it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I didn't give her the verse, so I'll just read it to you. It says, "Now him to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us, which comes by his Holy Spirit." So the power comes from the Holy Spirit. And he can do whatever we can believe for according to the power that works in us. It has to be energized. The word is energia, which is to be energized inside of you. And it says that in going up in that same chapter, it says that we need to be rooted and grounded in love that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Right? That's in chapter 3. So if you and I are fellowshipping with the Lord and acknowledging the Holy Spirit in all of our ways and all of our days, the rivers of living water are welling up inside of us, filling us with the presence and the power and the strength of God, that as we meet other people, it splashes out, it comes forth, and it pours out, and the anointing oozes, and people get healed by the Holy Spirit, whom container you are. So it's about you and I relishing, glorying, acknowledging him. We don't try to get him to do something for us. We do things with him. He's leading. You're not requesting him to do something for you. He's leading. You're going where he's asking you to go. You're saying what he's asking you to say. You're laying hands on who he's impressing you to lay hands on. Are you with me? Relationship first, then power. Because he can't help being himself. He is the healer. He is the truth. He is everlasting life. It says in John 17, "And this is everlasting life, that you would know who? The Father and Jesus Christ whom he sent." That's everlasting life. So the more that we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more that we acknowledge him, the more that we stay connected, the more that his living water rises up inside of us, the more we acknowledge him in all of our ways, guess what? The more he is himself. And he has entrance to heal people, to give words of knowledge to people, to give words of wisdom to people, to just flow. That's how we see the kingdom of God manifested on the earth. Is it up to you to manifest the kingdom of God on the earth? No. What's it up to you? What's your part? Relationship, being with him. So, does that take the pressure off? Instead of you trying to do something for God, to be accepted, to be anointed, to be loved, instead, you just do life with him. And trusting that if we delight ourselves in him, He will give us the desires of our heart. In other words, it will please you to be with Him in everything you do. Whether you're water skiing, whether you're eating your meal, it doesn't matter what you're doing. And I'm not saying, okay, let's just get a real practical idea on how to do this, okay? It's not, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you. You're with me right now. I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. Maybe you need to do that in the beginning because your brain is just so distracted. You need to hone it back in again. But it's more of here. Lord. And you feel from here, from your heart, because they were strangers to the life of God in their heart. Here. That here is where rivers of living water flows, from here. So it's setting down and knowing that He is God and just being with Him. And I do this. I'll just be standing there and just go, Lord, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge I'm in your presence, standing in holy ground. And I just acknowledge you. And I just love you. I've been away from you for a while. I've been distracted by these things. I'm sorry. I'm here now. What would you like to say to me? And let Him talk to me. What would you like to show me? And through that knowing that He gave me, my dianoia, my deep understanding, which is my imagination or my spiritual eyes, the eyes of my heart on the inside of me, I let Him show me whatever He wants to show me. And I learned to be led by that over my brain trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. And as I get this energized through the communion of the Holy Spirit, and this is awake in the world, then the two become one, and the presence of God, you're in the zone, if that's a phrase that we can use. And then when you see somebody, He can have His way. Whether a handshake, a word, a healing, a prophecy, a revelation, a hug, whatever it is, He can have His way. Are you with me? Amen. So let's... It would be good if you take what I'm sharing right now and carry it. It would be good. Do what you're going to do. But it would be good in these times that we're in. Not that this time, this is for all time everywhere. It should always be. But now even more, so that we can truly be led. And if you don't know what God's leading you into, you haven't been fellowshipping with Him. So it's just a matter of whether you need to fast, whether you need to just focus, whether you need to just quiet yourself down, whether you need to get in the Word, however you do it. And I would suggest every one of those ways, bloom that. Then, pray for people. Lift people up as you're in that communion time with Him. Lift up your concerns. Lord, I love you, but I've got these things that keep plaguing me. I want to know how to remove them. Do I renounce it? Do I rebuke it? Do I ask you to deal with it? How do you want me to deal with this? And He might quicken a scripture to you. Speak to the mountain. And then you just speak to it. He might say, have the elders of the church lay hands on you. He might say, you go lay hands on you. He might say anything, whatever He says. But let Him lead you into that. And then we get a practice of letting Him leading us. And then guess what? It's amazing how faithful He is and how we start seeing results in our lives. Amazing. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for everybody here today, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge you. You said that you're like rivers of living water that bubbles up inside of us. You said we're sealed with you. You said that you have given us your Spirit as a guarantee. You said you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. You said that we need to stir up the gift that is in us. And that we need to be rooted and grounded in love, that your fullness may dwell in us. And that you can do more than we can think or imagine by the power that dwells in us, by you. Father, I just ask that you would quicken everyone that can hear my voice, Lord. That communion with the Holy Spirit is the most important thing right now. That being in your word, that your Bible and your Holy Spirit agree and you lead us not only into all righteousness, but you lead us into how you would have us manifest you in the world. So, Lord, I just thank you for all the good gifts that you've placed inside of each one of us and the wonderful things you're going to show us and tell us that we can do our part, Lord, that you can manifest the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I thank you that you're our safe place, our refuge, our dwelling place, that you overshadow us, you protect us, and a secureness of your presence. That, Father, whatever we have need of, all we do is ask, for all of your promises to us are yes and in you, amen. I thank you for that. Father, I thank you that we can acknowledge you in all of our ways. We can delight ourselves in you. That we can sing and rejoice in your presence with thankful hearts that you never leave us and you never forsake us. Father, I thank you that you not only placed us in the Spirit, that we live in the Spirit, but now that we walk in the Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you as leader of our lives. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you as God on the earth. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you as the only true power on this earth. And that you live in us. Father, I ask that anything that is blocking to be removed. Any hindrances to be removed in Jesus' name. That we would guard and protect our hearts. That we would guard and protect our eyes. That we would guard and protect our ears. That we would take authority over our thoughts and our minds and bring them into obedience of Christ. Holy Spirit, anything that distracts us, we bring it back into our attention with you into communion. Teach us how to bring our minds into subjection to you, Holy Spirit. Our emotions into subjection to you, Holy Spirit. Our heart's desires to be with you, Holy Spirit. So that as you speak, we speak. As you lead, we go. So that you can manifest in the world as you choose. So I say for all of us, Lord, use me. Make me usable for your cause. Lord, you said that you purify me by your Spirit. By your Spirit, I'm sanctified, Lord. So, Lord, I just trust that that's true. That any shortcomings I may have or see, that you've dealt with them, Lord. And then my goal is to just fellowship and to be one with you, be led by you, be taught by you. That you would have preeminence in our lives. We welcome you, Lord. That you sit on the throne of our hearts. That it's not our will, but it's your will. And that we delight ourselves and take pleasure in your will. So that we can say, as Jesus said, that we have food that you know not of. For my food is to do the will of the Father. Lord, I ask for that to be a reality in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.